In introducing Connie Dooley today, I kept thinking of this scripture, Connie, and it's in Proverbs 30, verse 28. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands as it is in king's palaces. So the example here, the illustration, is that this grasping with the hands, that's something just to ponder, and that it finds itself in king's palaces. It finds itself, it's just a bug, man. It's just an insect, but it finds itself in these high places. And Connie's life and story is that she lives in corporate America. She is in the ministry, but she does ministry at her church in Valparaiso, Bethel Valpo, but she also most of the week works in the corporate world, and did not have a high position there, but has gained. I don't know that she'll tell this, so I'm going to tell it. This is so impressive. And I have, some of you are like this. I'm watching you. It's about being a person of integrity and having kingdom inside of you. And then instead of just trying to witness to people and just trying to sell Christianity, that you bring kingdom and you bring life, blessing, peace. You bring the fruit of the Spirit into wherever you are. These signs will follow those who believe. And so the true kingdom person has things following them. They're not pushing agendas, but there's something that follows them where they go. And if you begin to be this person, you will find you have access, you have the ear of kings, of leaders, of CEOs, of presidents. And her story, like I said, I'm going to tell this for her or on her. The president of the company that she works with, which has multiple, like, it's not just a little hometown bank, like it's a huge, in you know, business with multiple entities. I don't know the wording to use for that, but was it the president that honored you at a certain point, that just acknowledged how much impact you've had? And he did this in front of her peers, which made Connie a little uncomfortable. If you get promoted in front of your peers, they can start to hate you just because, you know. And it just made her feel awkward, like it would with all of us. And she addressed him about it at a certain point, like, hey, like, why are you doing that? Like, that's way over the top. He pulled out a notebook, showed her all the things that she had said to him that were words of wisdom, actually, that he received and adjusted decisions and different things that he was going to make that impacted the success of their company. And they were things she had said. If you will be a person of integrity, if don't flatter, speak truth. Don't complain, speak truth. It's easy to rail against things, or it's easy to try to get promotion by flattery and trying to please and appease. But to be a person of integrity, in the end, that is what's valued. And that's the person that has come here today. This man, here's where it went. He looked at her and asked her what her dream job was. She explained it to him, and he gave it to her. She's in transition now of a job that's like, I'm just going, OMG, this is amazing. People, you're not stuck in your life. The enemy will whisper night and day that you are. It's not that there's not a voice telling you that you are stuck, but it's not the truth. It's not the truth. When Jesus comes in and trumps that lie, he trumps all things. And when he speaks his truth, if we will just go, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to listen to you. And this incredible, and so as she comes, she lives in your world. She lives in the world of bad language and all the junk and all the stuff, but comes and lives that out and stays in a good place and has this blessing and honor to her. And even what she brought to us this weekend, she called us guinea pigs. I'd rather say that I didn't feel like a guinea pig. I felt like a test group, like we were worthy to be a test group. That's how I feel. And what she brought with the prophetic and coming into some new things, and everybody that was here felt this ease and this peace and this stirring. Like, it can make you feel weird, but this didn't. It engaged you. It made you feel like, oh yeah, because you may all prophesy. And she just released us from the little box that goes to. Even though in the ministry we've been trying not to do that, we still have it in a pretty small box. And she broke the box. She didn't come with it in a box. She didn't put it in a box. She took it out of the box. But instead of chaos, it felt really peaceful. It felt really good. It was energizing. It left you going, I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm comfortable with what I am, and I need to be more of that, more of Jesus in me and more of who I really am. And it was just so amazing. So Connie, come with blessing. And we just want to also acknowledge Mitch and Nancy that have come with her, and Sue, there. And they all were just so sweet, very easy to accommodate. They're just blessings, ministered to all of us. Did I just say? And Mike, I'm sorry. And I missed the obvious. Amen.
Thank you. I don't know if you embellished or if you were prophesying or maybe all of the above. It's like, is it really that good? And I'm thinking, maybe it is that good. Do you ever like pinch me, wake me up? Here I am, Fellowship of the Beloved, and it's Hanoverton. Is that how you say it? Okay. Ohio. And I was just worshiping. I was like, God just loves you so much. Just loves you so much. And my message is really one of liberation and freedom and not constraint, as Rick had said. I have a lot of frustration over the years, not so much these days, because I found I have solutions to frustration. So rather than be frustrated, I'm going to bring solution. But one of my frustrations has been in the church, because I am in the marketplace and in the church and a mom and a wife and a grandma. I have all these like hats I wear. And how do I do that with excellence and advance the kingdom right where I'm at? And so often I have felt pressure put on me to be somebody I was not. In the church, be Mike's wife. Don't be a leader. You know, it's okay if you lead the women, but leave the men alone. Sorry, guys. But there's always been a confinement, even in my gift, my prophetic. Well, we'll call you the overseer of the prophetic, but not a prophet. That's changed. You can be a senior manager, but you can't be on the board. That's changed. You can be a secretary. I'm going way back now when they had secretaries. They call them office people now, the administrators or whatever, I don't know. Or receptionists or whatever. I started out as a Kelly girl, and most of you probably don't know what a Kelly girl, manpower temp. Graduated from high school, I start out as a temp, and I go work for a motor repair shop. Like, I'm a girl in a guy's world. They'd say, honey, can you get a guy on the phone who knows what they're talking about? I'm just sharing where I started. Somewhere in the process, I found Jesus. I was an addict, all this stuff. And I found Jesus in this whole process and just wanted to live for him. That became my mission. was just to live for him and to be him. And I messed it up a lot. And then I had this gift that was awkward. Really awkward. When you know things that you shouldn't know and that you see things that you shouldn't see, And you hear things and like, there's something just weird about that, okay? And I know that. My poor husband, like, you know, did you see that? No. Did you hear that? No. Did you feel that? No. It's like, we walk into a building. We got to leave. We just got here. No, we got to leave. There's something here. I got to go out. I got to get out of here. It's like, be married to that. Yeah. We married 41 years this year, so praise the Lord. Two sons, two grandchildren. Family's a real core value, so I love this the feeling of this church because I feel family here. We're about family. We're really about family. And being family to the orphans. You know, there's a lot of orphans in the marketplace. We want to go to orphanage where there's little babies that are orphans. Go into corporate America. You'll find orphans everywhere you look, finding identity in their bank accounts, in their positions, in their titles. When you're aware of that, your heart starts to break instead of judge and criticize. And when you were talking about being a person of integrity, church, one of my missions in life is to teach people to be a messenger and to give a message. And as believers, we only have one type of wrapping paper. It's called love. And you can speak the truth in love and be harsh. Or you can speak the truth in love and be tender and gentle. Well, Jesus, he cast out the money changers, yeah. But there was more love and tenderness in him. We kind of want to pick out the one that justifies our behaviors. Rather than looking for the truth that he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's like, wow. And he knows you. Why does he know you? So thank you for the honor to come and be a messenger and multiply messengers, create messengers. See, prophecy is such an awkward, crazy, amazing spiritual gift that I've been pursuing for many decades. When I found out I had a gift, I first started thinking I had a gift. I asked for it to go away. It just was really not what I wanted, not the gift I would pick for me. But you know what? A gift is called a gift because you don't pick your own gift. It's given to you, and you take it, and it's up to you to unwrap it and use it. So this weekend, that's kind of what we were doing. We were unwrapping some gifts. So for those of you who weren't here, basically I came here with 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. I'm all about you discovering your gift of prophecy in your own skin. I'm not trying to create a bunch of little Connie Dooleys, little Chris Valentins, little Patricia Kings, little Graham Cooks. That's not my job or my assignment. Know your assignment. This is very important. This is not even the word. This is gonna be free. If you know your assignment, then you have focus of what you're supposed to be using your gift to do. The problem is a lot of times we go into something without knowing the assignment. Your spiritual gifts will help you know what part of your assignment is. For example, is your assignment to go in and work hard ground? Is your assignment to plant seed? Is your assignment to water? Is your assignment to fertilize? Is your assignment to harvest? Is your assignment to rest? What is your assignment in your sphere of influence for this day, maybe week, for a season? But know your assignment. And I feel like a lot of times the message in church to me is do it all. We want you to go in there, work the ground, plant it, water it, fertilize it, harvest it, all in one day. And that's not a kingdom principle. So some of you in your skin are hard workers, your laborers, your servants. You got a servant's heart. You have no problem going in and working hard ground. You like the dirt. You like seeing dirt under your fingernails. I worked today. Then there's others who like, I don't really want to do that, but I tell you what, I can. I like to put some seed in there. I'll just plant a little nugget and another one and another one. Doesn't even have to be straight. Just going to plant it. And you guys are good with that. Another person comes along like, that's, oh, mercy. I'm going to just water it with a little mercy. Let's throw some more on there. I'm just going to keep watering a little compassion. I'm going to just keep watering it. And then there's a few of you out there who probably are the teachers. And we're going to bring the fertilizer to help you grow. And then there's those who harvest, those evangelists out there. We're all called to evangelize. But doesn't mean we all harvest. Do you know you're evangelizing when you're watering? Do you know you're evangelizing when you're planting seed? Do you know you're evangelizing when you're working the ground? It's all about people. And when you start seeing people just as one to harvest and you don't see the process, then you hurt relationships and you lose influence. That's spoken from experience. So God redid my mind to see people as human beings and valuable, all people. All people, saved, unsaved, Christian, a Muslim, I don't care what you believe. I just know I love you. My message is love. And I will love you regardless what you believe. And you're not a target that I try to win. You're not a target that I will pursue for a season. And if you do not change, I will stop pursuing you. Or having a relationship with you. I don't like the word pursue. Having a relationship with you. So I choose only to have relationship with those who are like me or could be like me. Rather than be like Jesus, who had dinners with sinners, who had hung out with people the church probably didn't even like or went around and kind of spoiled his reputation a little bit. So my message is one, be yourself. Be yourself in your own skin with who you were born to be, created to be. Discover who he is. As he is, so are you. Discover who he is and then be that through your skin and your personality. If you're an introvert, be an introvert. Don't try to be an extrovert. If you're an extrovert, it's okay. You can try to tone down a little. High extrovert. But be an extrovert. And let's just get along. Somewhere in between, fine. If you like to do tasks, then do tasks. Don't try to be a people person if you're not a people person. We have people like, well, you're a woman, so you should be in children's ministry, but you don't like kids. Like, what's up with that? It's like, I want to be, that's how it was, if you're a teacher, I have a gift of teaching. So I'm going to be a teacher, so we're going to put you in children's ministry because of who you are. It's like, but that's not a good place for me. I don't have the language there. I learned it, but I'm just saying be you in your own skin and don't take any condemnation on yourself to be somebody that you're not. Look in the mirror and say, hey, you're pretty awesome. You're pretty good. I think you're wonderful. Hey, you're uniquely, wonderfully made. Give yourself a little pep talk and say, there's nothing wrong with me. Now, he who began a good work in us will see us through completion. So we're always in continuous improvement. We're always improving to be a better us. That's a process. It don't happen overnight. So give yourself permission. Hey, give me some of us need a little more work than others, okay? So just say, it's okay. It's okay. Give yourself permission. So I just define prophecy very simply. Everybody can prophesy. Paul wrote it. I define it as receiving a message and expressing it in your own skin. Use words when necessary. And this is a repeat for some of you, but for those who weren't here, God speaks to us. He doesn't speak to us in English. He speaks to us in the spirit, and we come with, and how that looks is different. That was our first night. We looked at how God speaks to each of us in our language and what that looks like. So some of us get pictures, some of us get feelings, some of us get a taste, some smell, some hear, some get a sensation in their body. There's a whole list, and Pastor Rick can share the handout with you. But learning how he speaks to you in your language between you and your father, and not compare it with how he speaks to anyone else, because he's always speaking to us. And then you become that messenger. And know what good father would not speak to a son or daughter in a way that they could understand him. So, and I was using an analogy of a special needs child, and I know a man named Jesse who has a special needs daughter who cannot speak and is in a wheelchair, a young girl, and he sees absolutely nothing wrong with her. He loves her perfectly, and he finds a way to communicate with her. We are all special needs children of the Heavenly Father. We all have special needs, and he finds a way to speak to us and communicate with us. And it's not about our works trying to figure out how to communicate with God. You're on the receiving end, church. You're not on the works end. You're the son, you're the daughter with the father trying to talk to you. And, well, I've screwed up. I've done some bad things. I'm a sinner. Oh, well, Jesus paid the price for all sin. We're not a sinner. We're sinners saved by grace. So, maybe you make some poor choices. Okay, maybe you do mess up. I don't know about you, but you who are parents here, if you have kids who are kind of going down the wrong path, I tend to talk a little more, and I tend to get a little louder, and I tend to I don't cut off communication with them because they're doing something that might hurt them. I want to warn them that they're doing that. I want to give them a message. So this notion that I've heard out there, I don't believe it's a lie. If you do believe it, I want to expose it, is that your sin separates you from God today. We're after Jesus. We're in the new covenant. And so our sin has been covered by the blood, and there's no separation. Jesus is connected. So we're not going to be separated. Now, could it affect the relationship if you have a pattern in your life that you keep going back to? Is that going to affect relationship? Absolutely. But it doesn't separate you from the Father. We have Jesus who's reconciled us to the Father once and for all. And he doesn't have to die on the cross again to reconcile us again and again and again. It's been paid for in full, once and for all, at the cross. What I do tomorrow has already been paid for. Paid in advance. Wow. Some good news. So, you can be a messenger. That qualifies you to be a messenger. Because what Jesus did. You can get a message and be a messenger. Yesterday afternoon, we went through yesterday morning, gift assessments. Now, I want to put a disclaimer, if you didn't get through that, this is just for you to find out, kind of get an idea of where you are stronger in gifting. This gift assessment is by no means complete, exhaustive, maybe not even completely accurate, but it gives you a snapshot of where to begin and to pursue understanding spiritual gifts. Eagerly pursue love, 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. This means, here, I got another scripture I'm going to share real quick. 1 Corinthians, I'm a Corinthian girl today. Gotta love Paul. You know, the Corinthians had some issues. One of their big issues was division. The reason Paul taught so much on gifts to the Corinthians, because they had this notion that some gifts were better than other gifts, and I'm more important than you because I have this gift and you're less than me. And they had a whole thing about tongues and things, you know, those topics. So when we look at the Corinthians as a church, we can relate to it as a body, that gifts can divide us. They can be a sore point. Like, who does she think she is? Oh, pastor appointed so-and-so to do that. I'm much more qualified than that. And it's like, it's not about that at all, that my gift is better than your gift. It's about serving. Gifts are used to serve people in the church and outside the church, our spiritual gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, got some good news for you here, that you had taken an assessment to find out about your spiritual gifts. Not. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way. In him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship of the beloved with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. My friends, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Every gift you need, you have. You lack nothing. And you're strengthened by God himself to use those gifts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That was our declaration this morning. I was tracking with Phyllis because I thought, this is kind of what the Lord's been telling me this morning for this church. So we're strengthened to use our gifts. And you don't lack any. Now, yesterday our assessment was about recognizing spiritual gifts. Because you don't lack them, but if you don't recognize you have them, there's a problem. And we need to fix that problem. So we're fixing the problem of recognizing our gifts. Is that good? We're good. So we recognize our gifts. But I want to point one thing. I would be like, it's like a loose cannon sometimes with spiritual gifts. That, you know, there's a lot of controversy about spiritual gifts in the church, even today. If you pursue, it does not say pursue spiritual gifts. It says pursue love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. It says 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let's just go there real quick if you got your Bible. My translation says, follow the way of love. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. This follows the love chapter, chapter 13. It talks about, you know, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails. Let's go to 14. Follow the way of love. 13 is the way of love. Follow the way of love, then eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Your spiritual gifts need to be wrapped in the way of love. Wrapping them in any other package is not kingdom. Especially prophecy. What's prophecy? Prophecy's a message. Use your gifts to express a message. That message must be wrapped in the way of love. Are you getting this, how simple this is? So when we go into the marketplace, we go into our spheres of influence. Last night we did a sphere of influence assessment. Did you notice I'm about assessments? Because I want to have data. I want to have concrete things that you can use when I leave here so that you can continue the journey that you're on. I want to equip you. Not just talk about it. I want to equip you with some concrete things that you can do where you go. Because I'm not going to go where you go. If you work in the bank, I don't go to a bank, a hospital. I don't go to hospitals unless I have to. You might be in MOPS with preschoolers. You might go to the library with your kids. Might go to the gym. Wherever. You might work on a farm. I don't know. But those are spheres that, your sphere, how can you be a message in that sphere? And is your message wrapped in love? When you go to work, do you go there to protect? Do you trust? Do you hope? Do you persevere? That's what it says. Are you patient? Are you kind? Do you not envy when someone else gets a promotion? Do you not boast? These are the behaviors of love that our message is displayed through. There were a few spiritual gifts that weren't included in the assessment, like creative communication, artists. There's other assessments that do include them, but you got the assessment that I got for free that I could copy without, going, I'm a woman of integrity, so I don't use copyright infringements are not something I'm going to do. So there was permission to use that copy. So that's why we used that assessment. It was free. I could bring it here and it kind of get us going in a direction, get the ball rolling. But there are other, like I said, creative communications, craftsmanship. Maybe you're a builder. God loves craft. Jesus was a craftsman. How do you prophesy through your art? How do you prophesy through what you build? Hospitality. My husband and I, one of our top gifts as a couple is hospitality. We create an atmosphere for people to come in and have relationship. Where Jesus, he lives in our house, so he's there. So we have a gift of hospitality that creates, it's not just good cook, I'm a good cook, not just a good cook or baker, it's really about creating an atmosphere where people come and feel like they're at home and they feel welcome and embraced. That's a gift. It's in Scripture. It's in the New Testament. I'm not going to go there right now. So we do everything through the lens of love. So you are the message, my friends. I am the message. If I had a name for my weekend, it would be I am the message. You are the message. We are the message. Your spiritual gifts express it. Use words when necessary. That's why I love this teaching, is training you to not have to use it and translate it into English. You don't have to put what God give you into a prophetic word. I'm going through training in the marketplace called Listen Like a Leader. I'm actually getting on track to get certified as a professor in training in the marketplace, Listening Like a Leader. And in this training course, it's a communication skill training, teaching people how to listen and to talk in the marketplace. For about 20 years, I've been doing that in the church, listen to God and how to communicate a message in prophecy. So it's like my two worlds have collided completely. And in Listen Like a Leader, there's some scientific things they do, different research in that. 90% of communication is nonverbal. Yet we put so much emphasis on words. People get a message only 10%, your message only 10% from the actual words you use. Your intonation, The tone in which you speak is considered nonverbal. So people aren't really listening to the words you're saying as much as the tone you say them in. Your body language. The way you face or don't face someone. All of this is part of how you communicate with another person and give a message. So you are the message, whether you say a word or not. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. I'm hoping it can become good news as we become more self-aware of who we are so we can be that message. My last point is in 1 Corinthians 3:2. I fibbed. It's 2 Corinthians 3:2. It's in Corinthians. This is after they get over all the division and all the my gifts better than your gifts. Should I speak in tongues? Do we prophesy? When do we prophesy? How do we prophesy? And, you know, the prophetic is about edifying, encouraging, comforting. So the third point of you being a message and myself being a message, I am the message, is that you know that you are qualified to be the message. You don't have to wait and call, wait, I got somebody to talk to. I better bring Pastor Rick over to do all the talking. I'll call Kenny up. He can talk to the people in the marketplace, you know. I got this guy at work. Man, I really want him to, I'm really like, he needs Jesus. Yeah, he does. Guess who's going to be the messenger? You know how he's going to be won? Not with your preaching, 1 Peter 3, by your virtuous life. I have a rule in our house when we have non-believers over our house. It's like, you cannot bring a Bible. You cannot quote the Bible. You can be the word, because my guests are my guests. And they value them, and they have no target on them. They only get my love. And then the day comes, and they say, how did you get like this? Like, I've had people at work ask, like, Connie, how did you get so smart about this care stuff? So then we have a conversation. Yes. Always be prepared to give an answer. Yes. But that means you have to wait till you get a question. So patience is, and perseverance is so much a core of this, is to be patient with those who don't look, talk, believe what you believe. Love them. It's a universal language. So 2 Corinthians 3:2. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Okay, each one of you is written. If you know Jesus, you've got your heart's been got some writing on it. You are a letter. You are a message waiting to be read. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Our qualifications to be a letter, to be a message, comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, my friends, what I would challenge you with as we conclude today, know your assignment. Know your assignment. Know that you are a message. What is the message you're giving out? Do some self-assessment. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. What's your message? What do you want to be known for? Know your assignment. Know you are a message. That you have gifts that you can express your message through. Use words when necessary. And you are qualified and competent to be that message. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's who you are. We're going to do something fun here for the next 15 minutes, if that's okay. So did you get it? That's my message. It's simple. It's brief. Well, maybe not brief, but it's who I am.